I want to talk about, so you think you've got problems. You think your problems are the worst problems of anybody on this earth. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because you know more about them. And I'm telling you, your problem is that which really, really, really is a problem. Let's skip that text and go to that slide number 3 and talk about the fact that life is really difficult, isn't it? Is it hard? You know, you never dreamed when you were 7 or 8 years of age that life would be where it is right now. You had no idea at that time where your life would be or what kind of things would be transpiring in relationship to this. And life is difficult. You know what we do? We blame others. Didn't have a chance in that Bible class in the auditorium this morning to talk about Adam and Eve in the garden. What do? You blame everybody else for the problems you've got in your life. Adam, did you eat of this fruit in this tree? Well, I got a problem, but you know, it's her fault. Eve, did you eat of the fruit of the tree? Well, I've got a problem about this, but it's the serpent, and listen to this, God that you made. You know the problem in the Garden of Eden? It was all God's fault. And that's the way we look at life. When we have problems, we always look to others and blame others. You know, some people blame their childhood. I'd be a totally different person if I'd had a different mama or daddy. I suspect they would. And I suspect their life would have been vastly different if they'd had another child other than you. But, you know, you can't blame your parents for absolutely everything. There is that time whenever you're under their influence, but there is a thing called adulthood, where a man leaves his father and mother and gets out and lives his own life. And that's God's view of it. But so many individuals look at themselves and said, well, you know, when I was about 10 years of age, and then flooding in their mind is some horrid experience, and I'm not minimizing how terrible that experience is, but flooding into your mind is that event that just sort of changed your life or other. And then said, well, you know, you got to understand where I was born. I was born in a different country. I was born in another state, and life was so different there. Or those of you who are older, remember the good old days, and you're having trouble living in the good nowadays because the good old days are things of the past. You can blame it all on someone else. People who do that make a fatal decision, and the decision is, my life is meaningless. I've got a problem, and there is no way that I can go forward. I'm just content to just be a failure. Well, I want to try to change that in your heart. If you don't know where this sermon is headed this morning, I want to try to change your life, if that's your attitude. And I'm going to do it by telling you a story about an 8-year-old boy in the Bible. And he could have blamed his parents. He could have blamed the culture in which he was in. He could have blamed anybody. And there is absolutely no reason for him to change. Now, I'm wondering if I have anybody that's 8 years old in this auditorium. Jonah, are you 8 years of age? How old are you? Jonah, how old are you? How old are you, Jonah? Seven. Jonah, would you come up here? I need you to help me. Roderick, how about you? Roderick, aren't you about 8? Come up here. Nathan, is Nathan here? Nathan, how about you coming up here? I need you to help me preach this sermon. Could you come up here and help me preach this sermon? I need your help. Is there anybody that can come? Just come or stand up here. You don't have to say anything much. I just want you to understand what you look like when you're 8. Come right over here, Roderick, so everybody can see you. Now, I want to ask you something. Suppose you became president today. Ever think about that? Never thought about it. Well, I was just wondering, you have any idea what you do about inflation? What about the fact the Chinese are sending their aircraft over Taiwan, Formosa? Any idea what you want to do about that? but you're 8 years of age. Surely you ought to be able to figure out something. Isn't that amazing? An 8-year-old child became king. All right, guys. Thank you. You really, really did good. Okay. I'm glad you didn't have any answers to my question. Sometimes I've gotten in trouble by asking children questions. And 8 years of age. And he is made to be king over God's chosen people. What qualification does he have? He doesn't have any great qualifications, but you see, if he could overcome what happened in his life, it might be an encouragement to every one of us. That's what this lesson is all about. You may be 8 years of age. You may be a little bit older than eight. You may be 88 years of age. But I want you to understand, you can still be used by God. And he became king. What qualifications did he have? Well, let me tell you about it. His background, he had the most wretched father anybody could ever want. He had a terrible, terrible grandfather. We'll go into detail about this in just a minute. But genetically, home environment, all of a sudden he's king. And his daddy and his granddaddy are two of the most wicked kings that's ever lived on this earth. 8-year-old child, you are now in charge of God's chosen people. Are you ready for it? He becomes king of that great nation. How can anyone with this background make it? And yet he did. The name of this 8-year-old king is Josiah. You might ought to remember his name. For sure you ought to remember about his life, and that's what this lesson is all about. Let's consider Josiah's trouble, the troubled life, and compare it with your life, okay? Can we talk about Josiah overcoming his genetic heritage? What do you mean by that? Well, we already talked about his father and his grandfather. Let's talk about his grandfather. Buzz, go back to slide 2. Put that text up there. Slide number 2 is the text of this lesson. And what a great job you did reading that text this morning. I'll tell you, a few hard words were in it. You did it better than I'll be able to do it. Manasseh, his grandfather, becomes king. He had a great father, by the way. Josiah had an amazing great great grandfather. But he's 8 years of age. What do you at 8 years of age know about your great-great-grandfather? The name of that guy was Hezekiah. But Manasseh gets on the throne, and you begin looking at this text, and look at all of the things. He's 12 years of age when he becomes, and he does evil in the sight of the Lord. That's in verse 2. He looked out at the nations that were around him, and he became like those nations. Totally forgot about God and all of those evil places where Hezekiah, his father, had torn down, where they'd worship all of the Baals and everything. Guess what he did? He rebuilt every one of those places. And he, Manasseh, is the individual who brought back the worship of the Baals and the wooden images, and even worship the stars of the heaven. He built altars to the stars of the heaven, verse 4, of whom the Lord has said, it's my name that ought to be in that holy temple, but it's not there. In that holy temple, in the two courtyards, there are altars to praise pagan gods. Let me tell you about grandfather. The verse says he caused his children to pass through the fire. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Let's get back to those slides where we'll talk about Josiah's grandfather who ruled for 55 years. He was probably the worst king of Israel, of the Jews. You know what he did? When he became king, he inherited a kingdom that had destroyed paganism. 12 years of age, And he begins going down a path that introduces idolatry into the land. In fact, he offered his sons and his daughters as human sacrifices. You look at that text that was over there, and there's that Valley of Hinnom. That's the place where an idol Molech was worshipped. And that expression you read in the Bible, he caused his sons and his daughters caused his children to pass through the fire. You know what that means? This massively huge idol made of metal. It was hollow inside, and they would build a fire inside. There were the hands of a human that had some sort of a basin, evidently. Maybe the basin was made of their hands. And that basin would heat up so burning hot that they'd lay their children in that basin. They're beating on the drums. They're singing praises and pleading with those gods that were there. They're beating drums so they won't be able to hear. And their children are burned alive. Josiah could have said, "Dad, tell me about your brothers and sisters." And he could have told how many he had. But he said some of them were burned out there in that valley that's just outside of the city of Jerusalem, Amon. And Amon is his father. And the Bible says he did the same thing his daddy did. You know what that means? It means Josiah had cousins that were offered to these pagan gods, and he's 8 years of age. Let's stop long enough to recognize that in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 20 and 21, and you need to write this verse down if you ever talk to anybody about abortion. The Lord said, you know, when you were offering those children for your convenience, they're not your children. You caused my children to pass through the fire. Abortionists, that child that is inside your womb is as much and as vibrant as Jesus was inside the womb of Mary. He's a being, he's a person. And you need to understand, America, that you are murdering God's children. They're not yours. It may be your body, but it's God's child that's in that womb. And an 80-year-old boy gets on the throne. Temple worship? Temple's in ruins, at least. It's not what it was when Solomon built it. It does not have the grandeur whenever Solomon dedicated the temple and the presence of God came down from heaven in a visible way and manifested his presence with that cloud that came down on Solomon's temple. It's not that anymore. In the holy place on this earth, in the most solemn and sacred place there is on this earth, there are idols. The temple is in ruins. And then an amazing thing happens. Josiah turns away from his grandfather and turns away from his father Amon. Amon did the same thing, caused his children, Josiah's cousins, to be offered as human sacrifice. And listen to this. Josiah is forced to become an adult at age 8. I'm sure there were political advisors, and you can use whatever ideas you want to have, but all of a sudden this young man sees some things, and some way, somehow, he becomes conscious of the fact this is wrong. Let me tell you what had happened. They had lost the Bible. Manasseh reigned 55 years. They've lost the Bible. Nobody's seen a Bible for nearly 75 years when in the days of Josiah they found the Bible. 75 years ago, how many of you remember the end of the Second World War? If you raise your hand, you're 75, 76 years of age. Imagine America without a Bible for 75 years. What would religion be like if people ignored the Bible? Oh, it'd go down the same path those people went back there. They developed their own kind of religion. They developed a religion that they really liked, the kind of religion that would fit their culture and fit their idea of the kind of God that they wanted to have over them. And all allegiance to worshiping God in spirit and truth, and all allegiance to the fact that Jehovah is God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And a religion of convenience had developed. In fact, we may not have time to really emphasize that there were houses where the Sodomites were used in the worship of pagan gods. And Josiah sees it, and at some time between age 8 and the 12th year of his reign, all of a sudden he begins to become conscious of these things in his life, and he says, it's wrong. This is not right. But he's not seen a Bible. I don't know what influences were in his life. But at age 12, pardon me, in the 12th year of his reign, age 20, he says, this temple of Solomon, let's fix it up, let's repair it. He asked the people to give money, and they start repairing that temple of Solomon that was in ruins, that had all of these idols that were there in the two courtyards, idols to worship the host of heaven, the sun and the moon and the stars. And Josiah says, we've got to bring this back to the way it was. And he sends workmen inside that temple. And the most amazing thing happened. As they're moving things around to the temple, for the first time in Josiah's life, he sees a Bible. He's now 26 years of age when they bring the Bible to him. But he started sooner than that. He opened up that Bible when he saw what had happened, and when he read the words of God, he literally tore his clothes and said, we've been doing it wrong. God is sovereign. God is the one in charge of this world. We've got to go. He calls all of the people together, all of the religious leaders, and says, we got to get rid of all of this. Let me tell you this, if you know Bible geography, they head out. You know, they do not stop in Judea. They go up to Bethel. Remember Jeroboam, who had built those golden calves at Dan and at Bethel? And there he gets there, and he finds the very bones there of those individuals. Brings them out of the ground. They don't stop at Bethel. They go all the way up through the land that we know as Samaria. They go even up into the area that we know as Galilee. And that's the place he did not even have political authority over. And they go where all of these idols are, and they tear down every one of those idols. Why? Because Josiah had a Bible in his life. And repentance changes all of that. So little special training, no Bible at all, and a Bible is found. And he calls the people together and says, let's worship God like they used to. And you may not think it's possible, But this story in the Bible has another reason why it's there, and that is to illustrate to us that which is found more than one time illustrated in the Bible, but in the most vivid way it's illustrated because of an 8-year-old boy who becomes king. And he reinstitutes and keeps exactly that feast that they had kept, but it had been since the time of the judges. How many years ago is that? Hundreds of years. And they hadn't done it, and for the first time, Josiah got them to keep that Passover better than they had done it in whatever way it might have been done during the days of Saul and David and Solomon, and during the time of that northern kingdom, and during the time, because Josiah lives right at the end of that southern kingdom, 500 years, 800 years, you pick a number. And he restored the worship of God exactly like it was. Because an 8-year-old boy at 26 years of age found a Bible. If America had had no Bible for the last 75 years, what would marriage be like? What would abuse in the home be like? What would ungodliness and immorality be like? The very values that you have, you know how to be a husband because God tells you. You know how to be a parent because God tells you. You know how to deal with enemies. You know how to deal with all of this materialism there is in this world. But if for 75 years we'd not had a Bible since the end of World War II, no Bible in America. Not a nation under God. Out from under God with no remembrance of His name and in its place. The gods that come out of human imagination. That's what America would be like. And that's the kind of throne, that's the kind of nation that 8-year-old Josiah became president of, to mix metaphors. How do you turn America around? And how do you overcome all of those evil influences there were in your childhood that has made you what you are? How do you overcome it? That's what this lesson is all about. In the 12th year of his reign, another verse says, in the 8th year of his reign, he began to do these. One thing that is given that he did, it was a step in the paths of righteousness. Young people, 16 years of age. 16 years of age, and he made a difference. Young adults, 26 years of age, and he makes a difference. And that young man, because of his influence and the power of the Word of God, impacted the lives of all of the religious leaders so that a massive number of people went out and destroyed all of the idols that his grandfather and his father had made. They burned them. They tore them down. And out where that idol was, where Molech was, they turned it into the rubbish dump. Never again would one single child be burned in the valley of Hinnom. Can I say the Greek word for the valley of Hinnom? Never would one child ever again be burned by human effort in Gehenna. They knew the word Gehenna in the first century. And it is Jesus, in trying to describe our destiny, made reference to this place where there was all of the refuse of the city cast out, and there was fire that would be there, and the smoke of that fire went up, and sometimes the fire would go out. Sometimes the maggots that were in the meat might die, but guess what happened? They'd come back. They'd start the fire again. And Jesus says, let me tell you about an eternal Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Josiah, 8 years of age, 26 years of age, developed the very word that Jesus could use to describe hellfire, Gehenna. Guys, we've got to get serious. You want to talk about the application of this lesson? 3 points, and each of them have 2 sentences. An eternal, unchanging God helped Josiah changed. And that eternal God will help you change. You'll not have the impact of Josiah in all likelihood, but you can have just as great a impact in your own life, and God is as willing to help you in your life as He was to help Josiah in his life and the work that he did. And a companion concept of this first application is Josiah's life changed because he made a decision. And if you're wallowing in self-pity and discouragement because you're blaming your background, Josiah grew up. You need to understand, you are responsible, not for the past, but for your future. But it'll never change unless you make that decision. Second application, totally different area. The religion of God was corrupted because there were religious leaders like Manasseh. The church you read about in the Bible is so different from what you see in Christendom in our day. You know why? Because men did not like the church that Jesus established. And so they went out to establish a church. And we live in a land where there are large community churches. What's preached in a community church? Feel good. God is good. You be good without ever defining what good is. Here's a passage that will likely never be read. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That message is blasphemy to the moral fiber of so many in America. And let someone simply quote that very verse, religions of convenience. Guys, it's not up to us. That simple principle used by Josiah that replaced the corrupted religion of God, the principle used that brought about a full return to the uncorrupted religion of God, would work today. When the pulpits of our land ring forth, with the purity of the message of God about morality in this land, about marriage, about the home life, about honesty, about every interpersonal relationship, when the pulpits of the land said, there is a God, and He is in charge, not some plan that some man has devised, nor some doctrine that says those things are out of they're old-fashioned and they do not need to be preached anymore. God put this story about Josiah in the Bible, and that's the reason. Two of them. There are other applications that could be made. We'll make a third application in two sentences. Are you ready to grow up? Are you ready to change and return to His way? What are you doing about the sin in your life? You keep going, live on, be happy. You'll enjoy your life, and someday you'll get old and you'll look back with a wasted life. Josiah became what he was because at a very young age, young people, teenager, he made a decision. And those older people that he talked to made that same decision and joined with Josiah in correcting all that was wrong in Israel. And religiously, the question needs to be asked. Are you on the path to restoring Jesus' church? It's not just a name that's out there on that sign. It's not Dan's church, not David's church, not Josh's church, not the elders' church. This is Christ's church. And the message that rings from this pulpit and that governs the spiritual life of this church, where we have godly elders who decide the very direction of the church, governed by this. It was God's holy temple that had things they had brought from the nation into God's holy temple and had corrupted Solomon's temple in Josiah's day. And the same thing has happened in America. We need to unite and give up anything that's not in the Bible and unite on that which is in the Bible and become the very body of Jesus, the bride of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God Almighty on this earth. The simplicity of that is amazing. The steps you go down that road to arrive at that is absolutely amazing. It involves trusting Jesus. It involves in recognizing He is the Lord and He's the Christ. I'm going to do what Jesus says. I'm going to believe Jesus. And I may be younger, I may be much older, but I'm going to the rest of my life believe Jesus. And whatever is wrong in my life, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to repent of it, regardless of the consequences. And I will gladly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And then I can be baptized, and the blood of Jesus will wash away my sins as I am dipped in water where the blood of Jesus was shed in His death, when I am baptized into His death. My past ceases to exist as far as sin. And He adds me to that body. And then He says, don't you dare turn away. Hezekiah's son Manasseh made a choice and destroyed his family heritage for six decades. And the choice you make is yours. But it will impact you and your family for decades and decades. Let's be Christian. Let's let Jesus' blood wash away our sins. And brother and sister in Christ, let's be faithful. And guess what? Someday, you can be with Josiah in heaven forever and ever. What a day. What a day that will be. Do you need to change? Do you need to repent and give your life to Jesus? Are you a wayward Christian? You need to come home. Let's sing a song of invitation to provide you opportunity to come down these aisles right now if there are changes you need to make in your life. Won't you let it be known by coming right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?